Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. The Supreme Lord is pure spiritual form, transcendental to all material qualities. Yet, for the sake of the creation of the material world and its maintenance and annihilation, He accepts, through His external energy, the material modes of nature called goodness, passion, and ignorance. Purport. The Supreme Lord is the master of the external energy manifested by the three material modes, namely goodness, passion, and ignorance. And as master of this energy, He is ever unaffected by the influence of such bewildering energy. The living entities, the jivas, however, are affected by or susceptible to being influenced by such modes of material nature. That is the difference between the Lord and the living entities. The living entities are subjected by those qualities, although originally the living entities are qualitatively one with the Lord. In other words, the material modes of nature, being products of the energy of the Lord, are certainly connected with the Lord, but the connection is just like that between the master and the servants. The Supreme Lord is the controller of the material energy, whereas the living entities, who are entangled in the material world, are neither masters nor controllers. Rather, they become subordinate to or controlled by such energy. Factually, the Lord is eternally manifested by His internal potency or spiritual energy, just like the sun and its rays in the clear sky. But at times, He creates the material energy as the sun creates a cloud in the clear sky. As the sun is ever increasingly unaffected by a spot of cloud, so also the unlimited Lord is unaffected by the spot of material energy manifested at times in the unlimited span of the Lord's rays of Brahmajyoti. So now let us chant the Mangala Charan and seek the blessings of all of our acharyas and the Lord Himself and all of His associates. Put all their chant nice and loud and invoke all their blessings. That'd be very, very nice.
Om Gyanti Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shilakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasme Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
So So Srila Prabhupada's translation once again. The Supreme Lord is pure spiritual form, transcendental to all material qualities. Yet for the sake of the creation of the material world and its maintenance and annihilation, he accepts through his external energy the material modes of nature called goodness, passion, and ignorance. So the first thing that is described here is how Krishna is completely transcendental. We're affected by the material modes. We're conditioned by goodness, conditioned by passion, conditioned by ignorance. But Krishna doesn't have to go through any of that. I was thinking sometimes, I'll be honest, I have really bad hair days. I know it's hard to believe, but I do. But whenever I look at the Supreme Lord, when I look at Gokulananda, I'm like, he's never, ever had a bad hair day. He always looks absolutely stunning. It's said that when the Supreme Lord gives us darshan, it's like we're observing a festival. The gopis, they're complaining, oh, this creator, Lord Brahma, he's made a mistake. These eyelids that he's created, they're preventing me from seeing Krishna 24/7. Because whenever I see Krishna, it's a festival. And when the curtains open at 7 a.m., we're all very, very excited. Abe said to me today, oh, yes, yes, this is my favorite outfit. So whenever we see Krishna, it's a festival. And Krishna appears like an actor on the stage. He appears like an actor who's taking part in a drama. And we are the audience in that drama. We get to witness Krishna's pastimes on the altar at Bhaktivedanta Manor. Today we see, oh, he's got a shorter flute. That's nice. Oh, he's got that nice little stick. One time I asked Ananda Gopal Prabhu, why does Krishna have that stick? And he said, sometimes Krishna gets tired, so he can rest on this stick and he can play the flute longer. And we saw the stick today. It was decorated so beautifully with so many wonderful flowers. I don't even know what color Krishna was wearing, such a unique color. I don't think there's a name for it in this material world. It's definitely a transcendental color. I just couldn't put my finger on it. Perhaps I'm not a good designer, but it's a very, very special color. Everything about Krishna is just very, very special. Unlike us who are time and time again coming under the influence of the three modes of material nature. So Krishna tells us that he's completely unaffected. Prabhupada says he is ever unaffected. On the other hand, when we observe ourselves, which we should do often, we realize that we are susceptible to the modes of material nature. Sometimes, however, we think we can override Maya, isn't it? Sometimes we think we can flirt with Maya a bit. Oh, I can watch that movie. I'm not going to fall under Maya's spell. The kissing scene is only for 3 seconds. I'm not going to be affected. We try and convince ourselves that we can do that, isn't it? But Maya is much stronger. In the 7th chapter of the Gita, Krishna says, Devi esha gunamai. This is a spiritual energy of mine. It's a divine energy of mine. So it's my energy. If we think we can overcome Maya, if we think we can flirt with Maya and get away with it, if we think we can test Maya and get away with it, then we're saying I'm stronger than Krishna. Then what's the difference between us and the Mayavadis if we think we're like Krishna? And that's the last snare of Maya, Prabhupada says again and again. That if we think we're as good as Krishna, then oh, game over, we're finished. So we have to be very, very careful and understand that, yes, at any moment, we can come under the influence of three modes of material nature. They're very, very strong, being a divine energy of the Lord. And they're very, very, very hard to overcome. Very hard to overcome. But it's okay, we have hope. Prabhupada's given us a solution. How to avoid this risky business of birth, death, and rebirth in this abominable place that we call planet Earth. Prabhupada's given us a solution. Prabhupada says we can get out of the entanglement of three modes of material nature with the sword of knowledge. We understand that these three gunas, guna means rope, and these three gunas, goodness, passion, and ignorance, they're binding us. They're binding us to this material world. And we're very, very tightly bound. Very, very tightly bound. But if we can somehow grab that sword of knowledge, then we can cut through the ropes that we find ourselves bound in. Sometimes we spend a little time in the movement and we think, oh, I've got it now. I've got it. Yeah. Maya doesn't stand a chance. I've spent 5 years in this movement now. And I've got it. I've worked it out. But that's Maya's trick again. We always have to keep taking shelter. It's not enough just to have the sword of knowledge. We have to learn how to hold that sword. We have to learn how to use that sword to cut the attachments, cut the ropes that Maya has bound us in. It's one thing to read the scripture. It's another thing to apply the scripture. Everyone's got the Gita in their home. And Vrindavan Chandraprabhu isn't here, but hopefully soon everyone will have the Bhagavatam and the CC set. A little Bhadra campaign plug for you. I think the man has got a 600 set target by Bhadra Purnima in September. So let's see what we can do. I wasn't paid to say that. So everyone's got these books in their homes. But how many of us are able to actually pick up these swords of knowledge and use them? The difference between having the sword of knowledge and using it is our service attitude. We receive spiritual strength from Balaram. We receive the strength by which we can use that knowledge from Balaram. And it is Sri Guru who is a representative of Balaram. So what does that mean? That means that if we serve the spiritual master nicely, then we will receive the benediction by which we can hold on to that sword and actually use it. So it means that when we approach the scripture, we have to approach it in a certain mood. We have to approach it in the mood of service. The first thing is that it said that the Bhagavatam or any scripture shouldn't be placed below the waist. It should be given in asana. Recently, my good friend Milan Prabhu gifted me a very nice gift, and he bought me a throne for the Bhagavatam. Very, very fitting gift for Granthiraj. The king of all scriptures should be placed on a throne. And we should approach the Bhagavatam very attentively and very submissively. This nice verse in the third chapter of the Adi Leela of the CC, where Kaviraj Goswami, he is glorifying Lord Chaitanya. And he says, I offer my obeisances to Lord Chaitanya because by taking shelter of his lotus feet, even a fool can mine, can collect jewels from the scriptures, can collect the jewels of conclusive truths from the minds of the scriptures. So when we open the Bhagavatam, or when we open whatever scripture we're reading, we should be thinking, oh, I'm a miner today. How many of you guys consider yourselves miners? We've got to, yeah, that's it, David, my kind of guy. David Prabhu, I should say. We are miners. Prabhupada has gifted us the opportunity to mine for jewels in the Bhagavatam. And there are so many jewels that we can mine. We open the Bhagavatam, we think, wow, look at this wonderful jewel. Let me ornament myself with this jewel. Uddhava is speaking to Lord Krishna in the 11th canto, and he's saying, if we ornament ourselves with the garlands that you've worn, by extension, the jewels or anything that's touched your transcendental body, if we honor the prasad that you've left for us, if we accept your remnants, if we apply the Mahaprasad oil that's touched your transcendental body, if we honor that, then we can easily overcome the illusory energy. So that's a jewel in itself, that verse. And that verse provides us with so many insights into how, just simply by observing the morning program so nicely, by accepting garlands, by really being grateful for the oil that the devotees apply on our hands, by 8:30 when we rush out of here and we have prasad, but really, oh wow, this is the Lord's transcendental energy. It is said that, the question is asked in the CC, what is the difference between ordinary food and prasad? It looks exactly the same. The ingredients are the same. But when it is accepted by Krishna, then it becomes, it's really beautifully described, it becomes uncommonly flavorful. mixed with Krishna's saliva, whatever you're eating, it just, words can't describe. All I want to do is do this. It just takes on another dimension. And we experience that every morning at 8:30, isn't it? That if you cook prasad, if you make nice bhog and you offer it to Krishna, and you compare that to food that's not been offered, oh boy, it's a completely different story. And bite by bite, consuming Krishna's saliva, inheriting that wonderful transcendental energy of our Supreme Father, we are conquering Maya. And this is our greatest protection. When I talk about prasad, I forget where I'm going. So let's try and get back to whatever this class is supposed to be about. But I guess the key point here is that we've got to take shelter of prasad. It's so easy to do, isn't it? It's not a chore, you know. Even when we're full, oh, fine, I'll have another bite. Because it tastes so good. Especially in the beginning when we join the movement, we find a pastime between Jambavan Prabhu and Jainanda Prabhu. The legendary Jainanda, who is like the king of Rath Yatra. We understand that no Rath Yatra cart is accepted or is bona fide without having Jainanda Prabhu's picture there, because he's like the king of Rath Yatra. And we're very much looking forward to September the 4th, I believe, which is when we will celebrate that wonderful festival. Anyway, Jainanda was a big prasadam bhakta. And he teaches us that Prabhupada said that in the beginning, not that we should do this forever because we've got to maintain our health so we can serve Krishna. But especially in the beginning, we should have prasadam so much that we waddle like a duck. That's what Prabhupada said. So whenever someone new comes to the temple, load their plate up. Because that's what they need. Lots and lots of prasad. Because prasad is full of incredible power and potency. And we'll get a feel of that at 8:30. So Uddhava is saying that if you have oil, the oil from the Lord, the prasad from the Lord, if you have the garlands, and by extension, all these ornaments that have decorated the Lord's body, you can conquer the illusory energy. These jewels from the scriptures are also such ornaments. And we have to mine the scriptures for jewels, collect those jewels, and decorate our existence with those jewels. What does that mean? We have to share those jewels with others. We have to find verses that touch our heart and try and live them. I think Ananda Gopal Prabhu has a little book. I don't know if he still keeps it in his pocket. But I remember when I had the good fortune to stay in this wonderful transcendental place, he showed me this little book that he had. And it was a collection of verses. And everyone knows that whenever you see Ananda Gopal Prabhu, he gives you a verse. Doesn't he? And so he has a collection of verses. He's printed out the verse, the Sanskrit, the translation, and he's really, really trying to live it. He's really taking these verses seriously. He's understanding the potency of these scriptures, and we can also follow in his footsteps. Not that we simply read the Bhagavatam to fulfill a quota, half an hour, alarm goes off, let's do whatever we had to do. Or however much we're reading, a chapter a day or whatever it is. It's not just a job to get done or something to tick off a list. The Bhagavatam is like a helmet and it keeps our head straight. If we don't take shelter of the Bhagavatam and seriously mine the scriptures for jewels, collect those jewels and decorate our existence with these jewels, then we're going to forget why we've become a devotee, isn't it? We can dance, we can sing, we can have nice prasad, and we can enjoy the whole thing. But Maya can come at any moment and tempt us. And if we're not armed with the sword of knowledge, having invested in our mining efforts, then what chance do we stand against Maya? Prabhupada placed so much emphasis on reading his books. One time, Shuddhakirti Prabhu, he writes in this wonderful book called What is a Difficulty? Actually, no, it's not in that book, but he writes that book. Somewhere else. Shuddhakirti Prabhu shares with us that he was speaking with Prabhupada. He was Prabhupada's personal servant, and he went inside Prabhupada's room, knock, 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 and then he saw Prabhupada reading his own books. And it's actually such a rarity in this world to find an author reading their own books, because the whole process of getting your book published is quite an austerity. It's quite lengthy. it's quite troublesome because you have to write it and then you have to proofread it, edit it, and then check for grammatical errors and this and that. And by the time the author of any mundane material scripture, which in text 15, I believe, is said to be a place where crows take shelter, rejected place. When a mundane author writes their books and they go through the lengthy process of publishing it, they're just so tired of seeing their own book that they're just like, oh, don't look at this again. Such a lengthy and troublesome thing. But Srila Prabhupada, showing how transcendental these books are, yeah, we find Srila Kirti Prabhu says is reading his own books. So Srila Kirti Prabhu goes inside Prabhupada's room and he sees Prabhupada reading a book. I believe the first time it's Krishna book. And then the next time it's Nectar Devotion. And the next time it's Bhagavad Gita. And each time Prabhupada says, if you just read this one book, you'll become Krishna conscious. Another time Prabhupada said, if you just read this one chapter, you'll become Krishna conscious. What did Prabhupada say another time? If you just read this one line, you'll become Krishna conscious. And then Prabhupada even said, if you just read this one word, you'll become Krishna conscious. Why? Because Krishna consciousness, Krishna is in every word. Sanatana Goswami, in glorifying the Bhagavatam, he says, Prema Varshya Shirayate, that the Bhagavatam rains pure love of God upon the reader. Every syllable is to be worshipped. I mean, for me personally, I think it's such a tall order to get to the standard of appreciating every syllable, understanding that every syllable is overflowing with pure love of God. That's why I've kept this book open, so it could come out. So I've kept it open. But every syllable is full of pure love of God. I can't understand that. But at least from that, I can grasp that we have to take the reading of Prabhupada's books very, very seriously. And then one day I'll be able to grasp that it's overflowing with pure love of God. So these books are very, very important. If we can read these books and really hear Krishna's pastimes and take shelter of them, then it is described that we won't be attracted to the material energy. When Maya attacks, which she will do, when Maya attacks, we won't be tempted because we will feel so full having taken shelter of the wonderful pastimes of Krishna. The pastimes of Krishna are said to be like an intoxicating beverage. I mean, that's quite something, you know. An intoxicating beverage. The sages of Naimisharanya, they're sitting down to hear the Bhagavatam. And in the third verse of the entire Bhagavatam, there's a beautiful line that is shared. Pibata Bhagavatam rasam alayam. Now this Bhagavatam is not to be read. It's to be relished. It's an intoxicating beverage that we drink. I'm so excited to have that mahamilk mixed with rubbery. Really am. As you can tell, I like prasadam too. The Bhagavatam is just as wonderful. The Bhagavatam, when we sit down to read it, we should be thinking, I'm having the Lord's prasad, because the Lord has spoken this Bhagavatam. Actually, maha, 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 maha prasad a million times. Because if we look at the parampara and how it's come to us, it's been touched by so many elevated souls. We're not taking it straight from Krishna. And each time it's becoming sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. It's the abode of rasa, these books. Rasam alayam. We're in dukkha alayam. We're in this abode of misery. Disgusting place. But if we take shelter of Krishna's books, we'll get in touch with this wonderful rasa, which tastes just as sweet, just as wonderful, just as transcendentally flavorful as any rubbery that we'll ever have. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, any of Prabhupada's books, very, very special stuff. All part of Lord Chaitanya's master plan to help us conquer the material energy. Prabhupada didn't come to America until he had completed translating the first canto of the Bhagavatam. In the CC, it is said that Kali Yuga, the influence of Kali, will be defeated by book Bhagavat and person, Bhagavat. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Shri Gornitai ki jai. So Maya's going to attack Prabhupada. It said you're in Maya's kingdom, Devi Dham. So you shouldn't be surprised if Maya attacks. In a letter, Prabhupada says, Maya is always trying to attack. And as soon as she finds some opportunity, she tries to inflict her poisonous effects. So Maya is a very, very elevated devotee of Krishna. And she's been given, Prabhupada said, the thankless task of covering us and deluding us. Because this is what we originally desired. But then Lord Chaitanya sent Srila Prabhupada with his books, with his movement, with his temples, with his devotees, with all of these transcendental arrangements to rescue us from this place, to rescue us from this prison house that Maya is the governess of. Maya is actually on our side. She wants us to become devotees, but because of our desire, she is covering us. But simply if we grab this sword of knowledge, if we take shelter of the Bhagavatam, the CC, all these books that Prabhupada has given us, and we understand that we can find some real nectar here. All the ingredients for our spiritual life can be found in these books. If we understand this and take shelter of Prabhupada's instructions in there, Maya's game is over. It's all done, you know. We will conquer the illusory energy. Sometimes we think that we can do it ourselves. Yes, I read yesterday. I don't need to read today. I read 3 months ago. It's enough for me. But Maya is that strong, being the divine energy of Krishna. And we can't take her for granted. When Prabhupada said regular reading, he said he meant daily reading. That's what it means to read regularly. It means daily. Prabhupada originally instituted, as Kanchanabja Prabhu told me yesterday, the ISKCON sandwich, whereby we have Bhagavatam class in the morning, Bhagavad Gita class in the evening, and our day is spent thinking about the jewels that we mined throughout the morning and the evening prior to that. So if we want to conquer Maya, we have to become miners. We have to mine the scriptures for jewels and decorate our existence with those wonderful jewels that can be found there. Understanding that Sanatan Goswami and all of our acharyas are reminding us that every syllable is to be worshipped. Every syllable is jam-packed with tasty nectar. And if we wake up and we take shelter of that, then we'll be okay. We can remind ourselves why we started this journey in Krishna consciousness. Because at the moment, it's Maya's duty to make us forget. If you give Maya an inch, she'll take a mile. In like a needle, out like a plow. But taking shelter of Prabhupada's books will give us all protection. Perhaps we can stop here, and it would be so nice to hear from all the devotees that have assembled here. And we can receive your corrections, your comments, and questions. Some of your senior devotees here who can answer as well. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Think His Grace Antaranga Prabhu has a question.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much for the class. You are definitely very much a Rasika Bhakta. You went for the Rasa. My question is, basically this verse speaks about how Krishna is unaffected by the modes of material nature, or in total, how he's unaffected by the material worlds. So my question is, we've been discussing, and I was meditating on this for a while, in the spiritual world, Krishna never fights any demons. Right? There's no sort of a demoniac mentality present there. the only aspect of demoniac mentality is refrains to the material world, because there's that aspect of enjoyment, me being in the center, and that gives a loose sort of that gives an opportunity to demoniac personalities to come to be. Yet in the spiritual world, Krishna also has this desire, let me fight with demons, let me slaughter demons, right? He's got this ugra mood. So in one hand, we have a statement that he's not at all connected with the material nature, nor any kind of effects of material nature. Yet on the other side, he desires to associate with the sort of a material nature in a form of fighting, because it cannot be facilitated in the spiritual world, only in the material world. So how can we reconcile this?
It's a wonderful question. Anvaranga Prabhu. I guess the first thing I can think of is that this is a transcendental contradiction. Perhaps I can share whatever comes to mind, and then we have so many senior devotees in this assembly that can help us answer this question. So your question is, Krishna has a desire to be chivalrous, do this rasa of chivalry. He has to come to the material world to do that. Yet he says that he's unaffected by the material world. What comes to mind is that he can still be here and be unaffected. He is pervading in the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. I think it describes how the Supreme Lord is pervading the material world in his unmanifested form, yet he is unaffected by it. When he comes here, he doesn't assume a human form, a material form. He comes as Swayam Bhagavan, as God himself. So when he comes here, the material world is like the arena. It's like the battleground in which he can exhibit that rasa. But doesn't mean that he's affected by that rasa. I guess it just shows us that the Supreme Lord is a person with desires. And he wants to, play with those desires, being unaffected by them. Does that kind of help? I think Prayojan Prabhu has some wisdom to share on this.
I was listening the other day, Magura Maharaj was talking about how Krishna, and he was talking about this fighting with the demons, and how it's fun. But the only time he fights with his demons is when he's fighting with his devotees. Like they, Jai and Vijay, they came to the world, didn't they? And in the spiritual world, he likes to wrestle and be defeated by his own classmates or people like that. You know, it's mock fighting. Actually, they wrestle with each other, and Krishna, he gets defeated because he likes it. You know, so in the spiritual world, some of his devotees came here so he could experience that mock fighting with his devotees again. And so though he does, there are no demons in the spiritual world, still he likes to be defeated by his associates, much like the Prabhupada said once when he was visiting a minister, he saw through the keyhole, they said, could you wait a minute, he's with his relative. And they opened the door, and there he was with his little boy on his back. And that was his fun. The grandfather was being defeated and being beaten by the son, in a sense. But it was an enjoyable fight to the grandfather, you know, and enjoyable to his son, defeating his grandfather. You know, so I can relate to that in family life, you know. They really like to beat you up, you know, the children. Yeah, but it's in fun. And it's a play of love, actually. That's all I can say there, really.
Thank you, Prayojan Prabhu. Another thing that comes to mind, just while Prayojan Prabhu was speaking, is that Krishna comes to fight with the demons for the pleasure of his devotees. This is a nice pastime where This one actually is in What is a Difficulty. Shruti Kirti Prabhu describes how in New Dwarka in LA, in the evenings, they would read Krishna book to Srila Prabhupada. And Shruti Kirti Prabhu says that Prabhupada especially liked hearing about Krishna and Balaram's killing of the demons. This is one time where Shruti Kirti Prabhu read the pastime of Vivida Gorilla and how he was urinating and passing stool in these sacred places, in the sacrificial arena. And Prabhupada was laughing so hard that Shruti Kirti Prabhu had to stop reading. So to give transcendental pleasure to his devotees, Krishna can do anything, even come to this world to fight with demons. Thank you for your question, Antaranga Prabhu. Anyone else would like to? Nikhil Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you so much for the lovely class. It was really amazing. You couldn't even tell that it was the first class that you've given. You know, you sound like an expert, so thank you so much. Just wanted to add to Antaranga Prabhu's question. Another point that we can think about is, don't worry, I'm not going to ask another question.
Thank you.
I was just thinking also, from our point of view, it's, you know, material world, spiritual world, but from Krishna's point of view, there's no difference. You know, it's all his energy, so he's not really thinking spiritual world, material world. So, you know, it's all there for his pleasure, for his enjoyment.
Mm.
So in that sense, it doesn't really matter, I think. So I just wanted to add that.
No, a brilliant addition. No, thank you, Prabhu. Prabhupada gives the example of, if you look at a traffic light, the electrical energy in the traffic light, but sometimes it manifests as red, sometimes as amber, sometimes as green, or brown if you're colorblind. but either way, it's the same energy, but it's manifesting in a different way. It's relative for us, but you're so right. It is the same for Krishna. Krishna's transcendental energy. Jai, I believe we are nearing prasadam time. And since there are no more questions, comments or corrections, perhaps we can conclude here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda ki, Jai.